Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corumdale Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about passivity. And guys, you know, I don't think I have much to say about passivity, and so I'm just going to not talk or say anything. I'm just going to kind of sit back, and I'm just going to leave the room because I just don't feel I have much to add. So,
yeah, perfect.
Yeah, that's fine. Why don't you put down your mic and go play a video game?
Perfect intro, Mike. Yeah, we want to here's the genesis of this topic. We really want to serve men well in growing in leadership and being responsible. And I realized recently one of the challenges to that is just that many men are passive, and yet many men don't know that they're passive because they don't really know what passivity is and how it manifests itself. This is just how they've grown up and sort of how they've been formed. And so we thought it'd be helpful to take some time to talk about what is passivity? What does it look like? How does it manifest itself? And how can men start to see this in their lives, deal with it, and change it? And so that's kind of where we want to go today, fellas. I want to start with talking about what passivity looks like. Can we just put some handles on it, men, for guys listening who need some clear, tangible, this is what it looks like, feels like, sounds like. So here's a stab at one definition. I don't think it's the only one, but one way of identifying this in your life is to say this. Leaders take initiative, and passive men wait for other people to take initiative. And so there's a lot of ways you can see this in your life, but when I hear things from guys like, well, I know I'm in a lot of debt, but I don't really know what to do about it, or I know that I need to make some changes in my family, but I don't really know where to start. Those are sort of clear flags going up of passivity, because what they're saying is there's a problem here that I've identified, but rather than diving into it and getting aggressive about solving it, I kind of hope somebody else will do something about it for me. And so a lot of times a guy's wife will have to step in, or his friends will have to step in, or his parents will have to step in. That to me is a pretty clear indicator. If you're listening to this and you see some of those patterns in your life, that should be a warning sign to you.
Yeah, so another way to put it then is, correct me if I'm wrong here, it sounds like what you're saying there is, if I see an elephant in the room, but I just want to avoid that elephant, then there's a good indicator that I might be a passive guy.
Yeah, definitely. And here's another way possibly to frame this. You can tell passivity in the kind of mistakes that you make. So guys who are leaders and who are growing in biblical masculinity will make active mistakes. It's sort of like my football coach used to say, if you're going to make a mistake, make it going 100%. You know, hit the wrong guy, but hit him really hard, you know? And guys who are passive make different kinds of mistakes. The mistakes they make are mistakes of, I'm not going to take any risks at all. I'm going to sort of step out of the situation. So what you'll see in a passive man is he'll never make a mistake that sort of shines a light on his stupidity, because he'll just never take a risk in the first place. And that's a pretty clear indicator. If I think about the kind of men that I want my sons to be, man, I want my sons to make aggressive mistakes. And if I think about the men I'm discipling, I want them to make the kind of mistakes that we talk about failing forward, you know, or like diving at something. And even if I didn't do it well or do it right, I did something. And that's a better mistake to make than doing nothing.
So you mentioned falling forward, and we talk a lot about that here at Corumdale. But if I'm a passive guy, I'm most likely just paralyzed. And so when it comes to decision-making, when it comes to leading, when it comes to should I do this or that, I tend to just be paralyzed or handcuffed, whatever image you want to use there, rather than doing something.
Yep. Here are three words that came to my mind as I was preparing for this podcast that could be helpful too: abandon, avoid, or excuse. So if you recognize in your life a tendency to give up on things, you know, if you've ever left a job just sort of because it got boring, or you just felt like I don't really know if I have what it takes. So if you've ever just left things, abandoning. If you avoid responsibility, so you're not the kind of guy who steps into a situation and says, I'll figure it out, we'll get it done, we'll take on the challenge, I don't really know what to do, but let's step in and figure it out. You just sort of avoid that kind of risk. or if you find yourself making a lot of excuses, if you're the guy that you have a really good excuse for everything, there's a really good reason why nothing's happening in your life and you can explain it all away, that's often a pretty clear marker of passivity, because what's happening there is you're not taking responsibility, but you're trying to justify yourself in the midst of that. And so it's somebody else's fault, or it's somebody else's problem, or you didn't have enough time, or you didn't have enough money, or, you know, it wasn't the right season, or the time wasn't right, or whatever, you know. There's lots of excuses we make, but the propensity to make excuses is a passive man's sin.
What shapes a guy in being passive, or is it just something we all are and we have to kind of grow out of and learn to not be passive?
I don't think everybody is. I mean, I know some guys who are alpha male, you know, they're the opposite of passive and they have other problems. But I think what shapes men in that is, number one, when they haven't had good models of masculine leadership. So they haven't had a good male, active, responsible man in their life. And Dusty used the word sort of paralysis. I think when we've been reading, Dusty and I have this book, Boys Adrift by Steve Sachs. There's a lot of people who have written culturally, sociologists who have written culturally about masculinity, and everyone says the same thing, which is masculinity is not inherent. It's something that's learned. You know, if you think about, Native American tribes, sort of the way you went from boy to man is you kill your first buffalo or you kill your first, you know, cowboy or whatever. You know, like there's some boundary that you have to cross to go from boyhood to manhood. And so when that boundary is not defined for men, the sort of natural result is I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, and so I feel paralyzed. And I think that's a lot of guys can relate to that sense of paralysis of I probably should be doing something, but I don't even know what it is, and so I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I would say you have to grow into masculinity, and so there's learned characteristics along the way from boy to man. You have to learn those characteristics. You have to learn how to become a man. Therefore, to what Bob's saying earlier, somebody has to teach you that stuff. And so if you haven't had that in your family already, you have to go out and get it. Hmm. Or you're just going to remain paralyzed or handcuffed or passive or whatever. And so you have to be wanting it. You have to be wanting something more. You have to have seen something more out there so that you don't remain paralyzed, so that you don't remain handcuffed, and so that you can actually, in a sense, you know, since we're talking about passivity, get off your haunches and go get it, you know.
Mike, talk about you've talked to Dusty and I some in the past of some of how God's grown you out of some passive tendencies in your life. So what was it for you that you identified? What did this look like in you that you began to see God shine some light on?
I liked your three categories of avoid, abandon, and excuse. I think abandon and excuse were the main ones for me. I didn't have a good history of completing much. If it got difficult, I found a lot of excuses on how to get out of that and to leave those responsibilities. It's also easy for me to blame other people, to shift my responsibility to other people. Looking back, I don't know how I was shaped in that. It just seemed like I was maybe naturally that way. I know I picked it up somewhere. I think the main thing that drove that in me, though, was fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of being found out, fear of having that responsibility on me. I remember any time somebody called me out on anything, it was either embarrassment or fear of being rejected by those people. And so that, you know, I don't know if that was on them and how they handled that confrontation or just me and how I handled that confrontation, but it grew in me this desire to protect and self-protect and just try to find any way I could to not get hurt. I was afraid of getting hurt.
Yep.
You know,
fear is a big driver of passivity at the sort of core root level. I'm afraid of being found out. I'm afraid of being exposed. I'm afraid of not measuring up. I'm afraid I don't have what it takes. I'm afraid of all that stuff. And so that drives a pretty strong trait of passivity.
Yeah.
And I think the only antidote to that, this is interesting to me, and I don't want to make a too strong of a correlation here, but generally guys who have played a lot of competitive sports do better in this area because they've had to face failure. Like they're the guy who they dropped a punt return or they got, you know, they missed a layup. But there's some really defining moment for them where they had to face up to failure in a way that sort of like, you know, it they had to deal with it. And for guys who've never been forced into that, I think sports sometimes forces you into that because you can't change the outcome of the game. You got to live with it. You know, you missed the catch. And so we lost the game and that's life. And, you know, you got to own it. Guys, and no guy ever wants to be forced into that spot, right? That when that stuff happens, it tends to be really crushing because it's like, oh, you know, we know guys who live in the past and it's the shot they didn't make or the pass they didn't catch that's defined them for the rest of their lives, you know? Yep. But when guys are forced into that, it oftentimes helps them grow out of passivity. No man seeks that out. And so oftentimes guys getting pushed into that is really helpful for them in sort of overcoming some of that passivity.
Yeah. And you mentioned Sachs's book earlier that we've been reading. He wrote that back in 2007. And so it's, you know, the culture has developed so much more into passivity in the last 7 years. But you mentioned team sports, and he actually talks about that in his book. And he talks about how every boy needs to play team sports because there's a context there where your kid fails, your kid's a champion, your kid's this, your kid's that. It's stuff that you can't teach your kid that happens in community on a team dynamic. And so my son right now is playing fall ball baseball. And last weekend, he, after the game that they lost by one run, he was like pretty bummed out. He was the last strikeout, which I don't actually think has ever happened to him. You know, it's actually not that big a deal. It just happens to be where the lineup is and happens to be the end of the game. And he struck out, but he struck out swinging, and that's our goal always. And so, but he said, well, I didn't really play anything cool today. And I said, well, actually, you played left field all day and sat the bench once. Nobody ever hit the ball to any fielder. And so just the way that – but he felt like, you know, I blew it today. Mm-hmm. I'm like, actually, no, it's just kind of a lame baseball game, you know. But there was that team dynamic going on where he started to feel like he might be failing in that. And so, yeah, I think team sports is huge for – that just kind of naturally puts his finger on passivity and can draw it out and create a little bit of fear there.
There's a good here's a great biblical example for me. This is, if you want to know, where's sort of the classic example of this in the Bible? It's 1 Samuel 13 and 14, where you see King Saul, though he has all the authority as king, he's passive. And so in chapter 13, he fails to worship the Lord properly, and then he's basically, they're under attack by the Philistines, and he's doing nothing. He's just sort of sitting around. He wants to not do anything unless he's sure he can gain victory. In chapter 14, Saul's son Jonathan grabs his armor bearer and says, "Hey, let's go over to the Philistine garrison. Who knows? Maybe the Lord will work for us. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." So Jonathan's just this guy who's saying, "Hey, who knows? Let's take a risk here. Let's go start a fight and see what happens and see if God delivers us." And so Jonathan is this great example of initiative and of the opposite of passivity, where Saul becomes for us this character example of the ultimate passive leader who doesn't know what to do, and so he's going to do nothing, and he's just going to continue his people under the curse of Philistine oppression. And I think that's a great character study for men who begin to see some characteristics of passivity in them, is to look at characters in the Bible like that and go, okay, what can I learn from that guy? What example is there for me there to follow, and what example is there for me to avoid?
Culture's different now. We don't have a rite of passage, you know, go kill your buffalo. You know, go spend overnight in the woods and see if you can make it out alive. Not even all kids want to play sports. How do we talk about passivity today in 2014? How is that kind of showing its ugly head? How is that showing up?
Yeah, you're asking a major question that has a lot of angles to it. I'll say this. I think passivity is epidemic in the men of Coram Deo. And I don't say that as in a harsh, judging kind of way. I just mean we got to confront that this is reality for our church. And we need, as men, to say, all right, well, let's start charting a different course for ourselves. How do we grow out of this? So the way you see this, I'll give you some examples of how this looks in church life, right? It's the guy who has a problem with someone in his gospel community, but he doesn't have the courage to go talk to them. Mm-hmm. And so he's having the conversation in his mind over and over again and playing out the scenarios of how it might go. Mm-hmm. but he's not going and talking to the person. Or it's the guy that has an issue with Pastor Dusty or with me and won't come and talk about it, but, you know, finds himself talking about that with other people and thereby creating gossip. Or it's the guy who really knows he should probably take responsibility to multiply or lead a gospel community or take some step of leadership, but it can't quite fit in his schedule the right way, and he's not quite sure how it'll work, and he doesn't have all the questions answered, and so he's just going to not do it. You know, this is an epidemic problem in our church, and I think in many churches, just because, like you're saying, Mike, the reality is our culture's moving more and more away from a healthy understanding of masculinity, and so with that dies a healthy sense of responsibility. And so you see guys playing a lot of video games, which we were joking about video games before we turned on the mics, because what they really are is a way to tap into the sort of innate longings of masculinity, which is I want to conquer something, I want to beat something, I want to win something, but I can always hit reset and start the game over, right? So there's nothing on the line for me. I don't have to deal with the consequences of failure. I just get to experience reset, start over, do it again, and so I can feel like I'm really dominant in this artificial world of gaming.
And I get to eat a lot of Doritos and drink Code Red Mountain Dew while I'm at it.
Whoa, that sounds intense. Yeah, I think it shows up when you can kind of see it on a wife's face too. When she's longing for more, she knows that there's more in her husband. She knows that there's stuff untapped there, but he might be just a slave to whatever career he's in, and so he feels kind of trapped by that. And so rather than like maybe taking a stand and either talking to his boss about that or switching careers, you know, he's fearful of that. And so it's much easier to just keep working for the man, keep my head down, keep working hard, keep putting food on the table, and be a half man, you know? And so there's weird ways where I think it rears its head now. You know, you mentioned 1 Samuel earlier, and obviously, like you said, Mike, our culture's different today, but I think that's how it's different. It's very subtle, and it comes across in masculine ways, like, well, most of the guys in our culture aren't working. At least I'm working. Yeah, but there's more in there that God wants to unleash, and that's going to, you're going to have to kill some passivity. You're going to have to take a risk. You're going to have to shut some stuff down to take this risk and move on. So I think it's very subtle, but you can see it on a wife's face. And that's not to say that your wife's a better leader than you and yada, yada, yada. She just knows that there's more in there.
How do we get guys to see then the danger of their passivity? So Saul was putting a whole country at risk by not doing anything with the Philistines, and took his son to actually go start a fight. How do we help guys see that they're putting their families in danger, or their kids in danger, or their church in danger, or they're just perpetuating something that's wrong in society further by not taking action?
Yeah, this is part of my frustration, is that we live in such an individualist culture that the only pain most guys feel is the pain of my life not quite being the way I want it to be. So if my wife's unhappy, then I feel it. Or if I'm not making the money I want to make, then I feel it. But if my church is suffering, I don't feel it, because that's not personal enough for me. And so part of what we want to do is call guys back to, dude, God made you to live for something big and dramatic, and he made your life to count. Like, I want guys living for, dude, I want to leave a legacy behind on earth that you can't possibly quantify. You know, not just I've worked a job, paid my bills, raised some kids, died. You know, that's good. That's better than not raising a kid and not doing your job. You know, like that's a step in the right direction. But part of what we need to do is help men see the vastness of what God intends them to live for, which is his kingdom, his glory, making disciples, his purposes, and raising up a whole army of men behind them to literally change the face of a church, a city, a country, maybe the world. You know, I think if men begin to tap into the bigness of God's vision for them, that begins to make this more of a pressing matter for them, and they begin to see more clearly the consequences and the costs of passivity. Sinfully, as a pastor, this frustrates the heck out of me, and so I sometimes have a short fuse with God. I mean, I've sinned against some men in Quorumdale just looking across the table at them and saying, you're passive and you need to grow up, and that they don't feel loved by that, surprisingly.
What do you mean?
And so I'm trying to grow in the graciousness of my ability to come alongside men and say, okay, don't be ashamed of this. Don't feel shamed by this, but do see it as a problem. Like, don't stop excusing it and pretending like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's killing your family. I can see it on your wife's face. Your kids are going to follow in a pattern. And if you're raising boys, they're going to grow up to be passive men and have to overcome the things that you haven't taught them. And so, let's get after this kind of change, and I think a community of men is really crucial for that.
I think it's only possible to conquer passivity in community, because you can't. You speak to the individualism of our culture. I can't even see outside of my own realm unless I'm in community. Unless I'm with somebody who can give me a little bit bigger vision. Unless I'm with a couple guys who I can pull from. You know, even just last weekend, we were with some friends, and my wife and I were just bouncing some stuff off them because I realized, you know what, this guy is very sharp in the area that I am not, and so I'm just going to bounce this thing off him. You know, I'm just going to say, hey, here's what I'm thinking. What are you thinking? And he's like, sounds like a good option, which to me means pursue that a little bit more, you know, because that's uncharted territory for me. And so without community, you're going to stay passive. You're going to keep making excuses. You're going to keep abandoning things. You're going to keep avoiding things. And you're going to remain passive. And so I got to get some guys around me. And I also got to be honest. So here's the other thing about passivity. It masks itself in activity. Meaning, I know I'm passive, but I'll just posture myself like I'm not. And so you got to be willing to just own the fact that, you know what? Yeah, here's the reality of my heart. Here's what I'm fearful of. Here's where I'm lazy. And then now that that stuff's on the table, now there's something to work with, you know.
What if you guys talked about, I can see it on the face of your wife. What if there's a wife listening?
There are wives listening. Yeah, I know their husbands are passive.
I know there are wives listening. Yeah.
In light of the passivity of men, there's probably more wives listening than men.
Exactly.
What is the wife to do?
That's a great question. One, pray, be humble. I think Dusty's right. Wives tend to see the potential in their husbands. And so the hardest thing being a pastor is knowing that there's a wife there who knows what this man is capable of. And her frustration is less what he's not doing and more what he's not living up to. You know, it's more that she knows what he's capable of. And she just knows, like, you're operating at 40% of your capacity, you know? And that's how wives are a gift from God in that way. And so, I want to encourage, the wives listening who are married to passive husbands or husbands who struggle in this area, that part of what they can do is continue to hope and believe in their husband, but also not to let that create bitterness. Because what sometimes happens is a wife just gets pissed because she's just like, dude, you're not doing what you should be doing. And so that seeing of potential turns into a resenting of the 60% that you're not living in, you know, instead of the humility to continue hoping and praying. And it was funny, I had a wife come up to me the other day at church and say, hey, thanks for personally inviting my husband to the men's retreat, because that's what got him to go. And if you hadn't done that, I don't think he would go. And so that's her saying, I see passivity in my husband. He's not going to sign up for this thing himself, but another man challenging him was helpful. And so that's a woman who's seeing the potential in her husband and going, I know there's more here. I want to see it tapped. And I'm glad there's men in his life that are helping to call that out of him. And so I think wives can continue to be and encouragement in that way. I also think there's probably some wives who need to get in good fights with their husbands.
The only thing I would say to add on to that is, if you're a wife, stay in there, you know, stick with that and believe in that guy, because you know him the best and he knows that. So even if he doesn't heed that counsel right away, he knows that you know him the best, and he needs somebody to believe in him. Because I think one of the plagues of passivity, and we mentioned this at the beginning, is some of the most passive men have never been believed in. They've never had somebody take them under their wing. There's never been an opportunity there for me to not be passive, you know, to say it that way. And so now, by God's providence, you know, you're in that man's life for that reason.
If you guys could speak grace to the guys at Cormdale, what would you tell them?
I want to tell them, Jesus died for all the things you're not, right? Jesus died for all the ways you've failed, which includes your passivity, your selfishness, your fear. Mm-hmm. Jesus bore all that. And But here's where I want to get to. And the other side of that is now the Holy Spirit lives in you to make you something different. Mm-hmm. So I think guys tend to like to embrace the forgiveness side of Jesus makes up for where I fail. But what they tend to not live into very well is the empowering side of the gospel that says, and the reason he died and rose from death is to help you live in a different story by a different power for a different purpose and a different goal. And so you actually can become a different kind of man. That's what the Spirit lives in you to create, is a new man who is not passive, who does take responsibility, who's like Jesus in his stepping into responsibility and taking risk and bearing the weight of initiative. And I want to give them both the grace of forgiveness and also the grace of change. It's also helpful to look at the lists of virtue in the New Testament, like, for instance, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, the lists of virtues in the epistles that the writers tell us to encourage and emulate. Those are helpful because I think the other thing we need, besides just the grace of Jesus loves you in spite of your weaknesses and failures, is we need the grace of comparing our life to what God's intent is and having something to aspire to. And part of masculinity is aspiring to something, saying, I'm not here now, but here's where I want to go. Here's where I want to get to. And so I'm going to do my best to work in that direction. And so I think men need to be able to look at some of those lists and say, okay, here's what a godly, responsible leader looks like. How can I grow in that direction? So sometimes I just want to ask guys, hey, let's describe the opposite of a passive man, you know? And I think not just in an idealistic Jesus kind of way, but like I said before, making the right kinds of mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'll take a guy who makes a dumb mistake because he's trying to go actively in a direction. I love guys like that because I'm like, well, I can do something with that, you know? I can't do a lot with a guy who'll never make a mistake because he's too fearful in the first place. And so I think even giving ourselves grace to say, as I aspire toward this, I'm not going to do everything right. So I'll take, you know, I want guys who are a little too aggressive, a little too sharp tongue, run over people because they're not caring enough. Like, those are the kind of guys who actually I think are good raw material to work with. The guys who tend to mask their passivity as they're being sensitive to everyone, right? And not that sensitivity is bad, but a lot of guys mask their passivity as, well, dude, I'm just trying to care well for people. Well, maybe you are, or maybe you're too afraid of what all those people think to lead them somewhere, yeah. Right? And so let's be aware of the kinds of mistakes we ought to be making in our aspirations to a death of passivity and a bringing to life of responsibility.
Yeah, if you're prone towards avoiding things in life, if you're prone towards abandoning most responsibility, and if you have made excuses all the way through school and all the way through all your jobs, it was always your boss's fault or your teacher's fault, then those are clear indicators, like we said at the beginning, where you need to get some help. And the first thing is to when this podcast ends, is to text or call or do something with that, which would be active, and say, hey, here's where I'm at. You know, these are the themes in my life. Here's where I'm at. I need some help in this area. And so I want to move out of that. You got to have good intention there.
Well, guys, I just want to say thanks for giving a young guy like me a chance and a context to fall forward and to make lots of mistakes. It's probably one of the biggest evidences of God's grace just being here at Cormdale, not as staff, but just as a regular attender, GC leader. You guys just had grace upon grace for me. And so I know that's not just my experience. That's lots of people's experience. And so my encouragement to guys listening is just reach out and ask for a chance to mess up. That's the best thing that you could do. Bob, one of the things you told me is getting over this sin of passivity is going to take a long time. Not that it's going to take a long time for everybody, but don't expect it to be overturned overnight, because it's a lot of rooting out sin and passivity and all that stuff. And so I mean that as an encouragement.
And Eugene Peterson's phrase, a long obedience in the same direction, is a good phrase to have in mind. Just it's going to take a long obedience in the same direction, but it begins with obedience. It begins with saying, this isn't how God wants me to be. This doesn't honor God, so let me chart a different course for my life.
Yep. Well, thanks, guys. That's going to do it for today's podcast. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join the conversation or suggest conversation topics by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha. We'll talk to you all next week on the Wednesday Conversation.
Mike, I don't really know what we're going to talk about next week, so I might just not come.